Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. Appreciate your presence so that we can worship God together. Many of you have asked about the youth retreat. Everything went great. We had somewhere in the neighborhood of right at 40 young people there, and it was a great time. It's great to see so many young people wanting to do what's right. If you've never sat and listened to a group of young people sing, it's worth the trip there just for that right there. And so I appreciate the elders here supporting that cause and allowing me to direct that. And I appreciate Shauna this year. Shauna went with us as one of our counselors, and I appreciated her being there and helping out in that respect as well. As you can probably hear in my voice, I am a little under the weather. I joked with someone that I was going to get up and I was going to say, if you're not living right, you know who you are. Come forward right now as together we stand and sing. It'll be a little bit longer than that, but it won't be a whole lot longer than that. Tonight we ask the question, why study? You know, as you think about the question why, it is a question that for many children, it's their favorite question. It's a question that as parents we hear over and over. And you know, sometimes as parents, we finally give that answer, because I said so. And in some cases, there's nothing wrong with that answer. But when it comes to spiritual matters, because I said so is never an answer. It is the case that when it comes to spiritual matters, I believe why is the best question that you and I can ask. We need to understand why we do the things that we do. We need to understand what it is God has said in His Word that instructs us in that way. And not just know the answer to the question, but know where to find the answer. And know how to show someone else what that answer is. Our children need to know why. Our grandchildren need to know why. Because we've always done it that way, or because the preacher said so, friends, those are never the answer. But God's Word is. And so tonight we ask this question, why study? You know, we stress the importance of Bible study, and rightfully so. In fact, just a few weeks ago when I did the sermon on the New Year's resolutions, one of those resolutions was to read and study our Bibles more. And so, though, why should we do that? You know, our time is valuable, is it not? I mean, each of us have a precious amount of time. And we have so many responsibilities, so many things that have to be done within that amount of time that we have. And so why is it that I should spend some of that time in the study of God's Word? To begin to answer that question, I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul is writing to a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy was a minister, an evangelist, preacher, whatever term you want to use there. And so Paul is writing to him, instructing him on some things that he needed to be doing, also encouraging him. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent, or study, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right there in that verse, we see several things, four things, that are reasons to study God's Word. We see there that we should study to be pleasing to God. You notice that phrase there in the passage, to be approved of God. That means to be pleasing to Him. And how do we do that? We do that by studying His Word. We should study in order also in this verse to win souls. Notice the word there, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. What's he talking about? He's talking about someone who's preaching and presenting the gospel. Not necessarily from a pulpit, but just anyone who is teaching others about the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And so we should do it to be pleasing to God, to win souls. Number three, we should do it in order to show ourselves capable. He says there, who does not need to be ashamed. In other words, when it comes to biblical questions, I don't have to be ashamed of being asked those questions. I don't have to worry about saying, well, I don't have a clue. If I'm studying my Bible, I can give answers to those questions. And maybe not an answer immediately. There's questions that I'm asked sometimes, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know, but I'll find out. Someone who is studying their Bibles presents themselves as someone who is capable. And then finally, number four, to be correct. We read that final phrase there, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, handling God's word rightly. Being able to show what the Bible says. Those are good reasons, important reasons. But there are three other reasons that I want us to notice this evening. Three things that really show what it is in for us in studying God's word. Three things. Number one, why should we study? We should study God's word to light the way. To light the way. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway." The psalmist describes here God's word as a lamp, as a light that illuminates our way as we travel through this life. And brethren, we need that light. Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Jeremiah says, if it's left up to us, we're going to stumble around in the dark. We need God's word to light the way for us. The man without God's word in his life is like a man trying to walk down a path without the aid of a light. What's going to happen to an individual like that? He's going to stumble. He's going to fall. He at times is going to wander off the path and get tripped up. And odds are very good that that individual will never make his way to the end of that pathway. But what about the individual with God's word? Well, he has light. He can see the pathway clearly. As a result, he can avoid any pitfalls, any traps that are along the way. Now, it may still be the case that on occasion he stumbles or he falls, but he gets back up and he can see that pathway clearly as long as he's using the light of God's word so that he can continue to travel down it. And that's the first reason that you and I need to be people who study God's word, because we need that light to illuminate our way. The second reason to study God's word, and each of these points builds off of the previous one, because we want to light the way to life. We want to light the way to life. You see, it's not just any way that we want to light, but it is the way to life. In Proverbs 14:12, we read this statement that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, that's not the path that you and I want to travel. We don't want to travel a way that leads to death. We're looking for the way that leads to life. And friends, the only way to travel that way is with the light of God's word. We need God's word to illuminate our way so that we can study it. That way we can recognize which road we're on. That way we can see, hey, am I on the road that's traveling to life, or am I on the road that's traveling to death? Without God's word to light the way, we don't know. Christ came and he taught so that we could have life. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Notice he doesn't want to give us just any life, but an abundant life. And friends, that abundant life can only be found through a study of his word. Christ wants us to enjoy our life here. But that enjoyment is found in serving him faithfully. And the only way that we can serve him faithfully is if we know what he seeks from us. And friends, the only way that we can know that is by studying his word. There is nothing that the scriptures tell us to abstain from that would benefit us. And there is nothing that the scriptures tell us to do that would harm us. You know, there's nothing that I tell Reagan and Harrison, "No, you can't do that because that'd be too much fun. I don't want you to do that." If I tell them not to do something, it's because I'm trying to protect them from something. "No, Harrison, you cannot climb to the top of the house and jump off of it. I want him to hurt himself." At the same time, the things that I tell them to do, those things are for their benefit. Friends, God is just the same way. The things that He instructs us to stay away from, it's because He doesn't want those things to harm us. And the things that He instructs us to do, those things are for our benefit. Those who study God's Word and obey it, they have a clearer view of their purpose here. And since they know why they are here, they can enjoy their time here more fully. Another reason for us to study is so that we can light the way to life. But thirdly and finally, we need to study so that we can light the way to life eternal. It's not just any life that we're seeking, that we're searching for. Ultimately, it is the way to eternal life that we are striving for. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus offers us eternal life, but friends, it is only through Him that we can have that. He sacrificed His life upon the cross so that we can have salvation. In Ephesians 1:13, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "In Him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth," notice what it is, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The word of truth there, the gospel of your salvation. Friends, we need God's word so that we can know what we need to do in order to inherit eternal life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Friends, this word can help us to keep from sinning. If we read it, if we study it, if we internalize it, if we apply it to our lives, it can help us to resist temptation. It can help us to avoid falling prey to sin. Think about it. If you're reading God's word over and over again, eventually, some of that stuff's going to start sticking. And imagine you're being tempted to do something, and suddenly in your head pops one of the verses that deals with that exact temptation. Do you not think that would help you to resist that temptation? To turn away from that sin? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." Friends, God's word has the power to save, but only if we use it. A lot of times I've heard it referred to, it's just like medicine. You know, a doctor can prescribe medicine for you and can tell you this medicine has the power to cure whatever it is you're dealing with. But if you just leave that medicine sitting on your nightstand and you get in the bed and you just look over at it every night and then go to sleep, that medicine's not going to do any good, is it? You have to put that medicine into your body in order for that medicine to work like it's supposed to. And friends, if all we do is we take our Bibles and we leave them laying on our nightstand and we glance over every night and say, "There's my Bible," but we never open it, we never read it, we never internalize what we have read, then friends, it does us no good. God's Word has the power to set us free from the bondage of sin so that we can have this abundant life eternal. John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth." What's the truth? John 17:17 says, "Your word is truth." You shall know the truth, God's word, and the truth shall make you free. God's word can set us free. But we have to obey its commands. We have to become a Christian and we have to live faithfully. I hope just from what little bit we've looked at tonight, it's clear to you, it's important that I study my Bible. It's important that I take the time to read it, and not just a casual reading, but to look at what it says, to think about it and to apply it to my life. Because it is only through that God's Word can light the way to life eternal. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it." As you use the light of God's Word this evening, which road does it show that you're on? Friend, there's only two ways that you can travel. There's that broad way and there's that narrow way. There's that way that leads to destruction and that way that leads to eternal life. Which road are you on tonight? If you're not a Christian, why not start that journey? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin, to confess that belief, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, I can think of no better way to end out 2018 and the start 2019 than to become a child of God. Here tonight, you are a Christian, but you've drifted away from Him. Don't leave tonight in that condition. Don't spend another moment being separated from God. Come back to Him. One of the parables that we looked at this weekend at the retreat, the theme was the parables of Jesus. One of the parables that we looked at was that of the prodigal son. And the beauty of the fact that the father was standing there just waiting for the son to return. And friend, tonight God stands waiting. If you've gone away from Him, if you've never been with Him, make tonight the night. Need to respond to heaven's invitation? We invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.